Good evening and welcome back to Mask's weekly radio show on family matters. Mask mothers and fathers aligned, saving kids of all ages and all stages for all mental health struggles, including addiction. If you know someone that needs a referral for a therapist, an inpatient or outpatient program, please give them our number, 718-758-0400. You may want to jot it down for yourself, a loved one, a neighbor, or someone you usually would sit next to in shul. Our number again, 718-758-0400. We also offer parent support groups still by Zoom or in person. If you want to join a parent group, call us to register, 718-758-0400. Our Sunday night group is facilitated by Yeshaya Krauss for blended families, second marriages, bringing up each other's children. Our Monday night group is Dr. Debbie Ackerman. Our Tuesday night group is Dr. Shmuel Brachfeld. Our Tuesday night in-person group is Dr. Trish Atiya. Our Wednesday night group is Rabbi Dr. Benzion Tversky. And the in-person Five Towns group is Cheryl Friedman. Please call us to register. So tonight, I'm really happy to have on with us again, Sarah Bateman, who's been on in the past with us. And I really appreciate, Sarah, that you make the time to come on and share all your knowledge about eating disorders. Sarah is a psychotherapist. She specializes in eating disorders as well as depression and anxiety. And in addition to her private practice, she's the liaison to the Jewish community at the Renfrew Centers, where she will talk more about the Renfrew Center and her programs there. I'd like to welcome you on tonight once again, Sarah Bateman. Thank you for coming on.
Thank you so much for having me. Good to speak with you again. Always appreciate the opportunity to spread awareness, reduce stigma, encourage anybody struggling at any level to get help. It doesn't have to be so bad before we get help. And thank you so much, Ruchama, to you and to Mask for all you do.
Thank you. And of course, it's not me alone. I always say it's only with my wonderful staff that we're able to service the communities at large. We are now in our 27th year. Over 122,000 families, and we just want to make sure that we get to share all the information and resources that are out there for the clown. So, Sarah, let's get to it. I mean, Pesach is coming, and for many, eating disorders can be life-threatening. Some suffer with complications with, you know, whether they eat too much, whether they don't eat enough. There's so many disordered eating definitions. I mean, there's anorexia nervosa, bulimia, there's binge eating. And I was wondering if you could first give us the definition for each one so people understand what we are going to be discussing.
Absolutely. Anorexia means that a person is not maintaining enough calories or that their body weight is too low for their height, gender, activity level, and developmental growth. Bulimia means that a person is binging, meaning eating large amounts of food in a small amount of time, or eating large amounts of food with a feeling of being out of control, and then engaging in compensatory behaviors, meaning it can be self-induced vomiting or excessive exercise to try and get rid of the excess calories. And binge eating disorder is the same definition of binging, but without the compensatory behaviors. Most people with eating disorders don't actually fit into any of those three diagnoses, but actually switch between different sets of symptoms, sometimes not eating enough, sometimes eating too much, sometimes binging, sometimes not feeding themselves properly. And so I just want to really put that out there that a lot of times somebody doesn't fit into what they think of as a classic eating disorder and don't think that they are worthy of treatment. That is actually most people that we see in the eating disorders population. And that's part of the nature of the disorder to not think that you're sick enough or deserving of help. And so just really want to emphasize that you don't have to be sick enough. Everybody deserves help if they are struggling at any level. And at the Renfrew Center, we help people coming in at all levels of care. You don't have to go through, you don't have to start at the highest level of care to get to the next level. We take people wherever you are and also have support groups afterwards. If anybody has been in treatment in the past and is struggling, we have a lot of ongoing support groups that, especially before Pesach, might be a great time for somebody to just reach out for some reinforcement or support if you feel like that could be helpful in any way.
Thank you. And being that eating disorders are life-threatening for some, I mean, some do die from complications,
Yes.
associated with starvation or suicide. But for regular people that are not struggling with eating disorders, eating could be very satisfying and feel good. So let's talk about some of the biggest challenges of the upcoming holiday of Pesach for somebody with an eating disorder, please.
Thank you. I appreciate you highlighting that eating disorders are serious and can be fatal disorders. A lot of times people think, oh, my kid's just being picky, or my kid is just dieting, or I'm just trying to be healthy. And I say that with quotation marks because I think that a lot of people don't know what healthy means anymore in our diet-focused culture. And an eating disorder is not a phase. When somebody is not able to nourish themselves properly and is failing to thrive, it, as you said, it can be fatal. It is very serious. It's not something that we grow out of. It's not something that passes. It's something that we deserve and need to get help about. And I think that it is really timely that we are discussing this before Pesach, because I think that Pesach is such a stressful time for everyone. It's a holiday that requires a lot of preparation, a lot of work. For many people who don't have eating disorders, there's concerns about the cleaning and the preparations, in terms of anxiety and obsessive compulsive disorder, making sure to remove all of the leavened products and dishes and crumbs from the home can be stressful. I think just mentioning that a lot of people go away for Pesach and the pressure on appearance and having the right outfits and looking good, dressing properly, impressing, feeling good in one's own skin can be really important to address as well, because there is a lot of focus on appearance, especially when people go away to different programs. And as you said, even for somebody who's not struggling with an eating disorder, there can still be a lot of preoccupation with the food on Passover, switching from the food that we eat on a regular daily basis to keeping kosher for Pesach for Passover. Sorry, I keep interchanging the terms Pesach and Passover. But just whenever there's a big change and it lasts for 7, 8 days, depending on where you are, it can really just throw off your schedule, and people have stomach issues, and people worry about getting full. And when you're in eating disorder treatment, and working on incorporating different foods like bread and crackers, pretzels, trying to get used to those as part of your daily nutrients, and then suddenly can't have them, and trying to pay attention to how your body feels, and maybe having stomach issues and or constipation due to the matzah. These are just really important factors to be sensitive to and pay attention to, and along with the anxiety and the OCD of the preparations and the focus on appearance and the focus on the abundance of food and holiday meals and the feasting and all of the family and alcohol and preparations that go along with that as well.
So, Sarah, what about families that are so used to discussing dieting in their home? People can suddenly feel like, oh, I need to count my calories. I need to exercise more. People are overweight in the family. Let's talk about when there is too much talk about diets in someone's home.
Great, great question. I think that it is an unfortunate fact that that is part of our culture, that the diet talk and the talking about losing weight and the assumptions that being overweight means being unhealthy or that somebody needs to lose weight. These are conversations that are often had and can be extremely unhelpful for anyone, even if they don't have an eating disorder. So I think just having that awareness and the fact that we're talking about it is really good, because for everyone listening, I would really challenge you to just not talk about it, to try to talk about something else, try to talk about, change the conversation, try to talk about something that matters, a goal, a desire, something you want to accomplish, something you want to do to help somebody, rather than putting the focus of our conversations on our bodies and our food. We want to obviously listen to our bodies. We want to learn to feed ourselves when we're hungry and be able to stop when we're satisfied. But also, we want to be able to enjoy the holiday food, and we want to just see if we can change the conversation, stop the conversation, redirect. Let's not give any more weight to our weight than is necessary. Let's see if we can talk about things that matter and things that help us, or ways that we want to be helpful instead, and see if we can turn it around, because unfortunately, it really is part of our dialogue, and a lot of it really is not helpful, and a lot of it really is based on sometimes assumptions, sometimes habit, sometimes avoidance. But a lot of times we talk about food rather than talking about the feelings, and I'd encourage anybody who can to talk about the feelings and try to talk about what matters.
Sarah, I'm wondering if you can offer some tips to help navigate the Pesach Seder.
Absolutely. I always try to think of it as two levels. One, we want to start with the kind of the concrete, the treatment planning. If food is an issue for you, if family is an issue for you, start with just trying to identify your specific triggers. Speak to people who support you. If you have a treatment team, or you could reach out for support, if you have a friend, and just see if you can work on some concrete planning first. So the first level would be to identify any triggers and plan what you can do to navigate them specifically for you. Because obviously, that's really individualized. If somebody struggles with the food, if somebody needs to make sure to not get starving and eat something before the Seder, or how can the Seder meal fit in with my meal plan, or how can I make sure to have grape juice if wine is a struggle for me? So start with the concrete, and then once you have a specific plan to deal with your triggers, the next level that I always want to encourage is, can you see if you can turn this around? Can you think about what the meaning is behind the holiday, or what do I want to get out of this? And I even suggest just Googling the meaning of Passover, or what are the themes of Passover? And is there a way, besides just turning around the treatment planning, just turning around the specific triggers, to actually see if you can find any meaning for yourself? So rather than just getting caught up in the challenging nature of the ritual, can the ritual itself be helpful to you in your treatment? Can you turn it around? Can you set a positive goal for yourself that aligns with the theme of four? Each time we talk about the four suns or the four questions, can you give yourself a positive, can you come up with four positive affirmations and say them to yourself? Or can you think about the theme of freedom on Pesach and think, what can I do right now to help me feel free of my eating disorder and celebrate the freedom that I have right now?
Oh, thank you, Sarah. You know, managing food on Pesach can be really difficult. There's so much matzah in every meal. You know, the Seder meals, there's a lot of matzah one eats. And then all through the week. And other foods are more limited. So there's, like you said at the beginning of the show, people have to change their diets based on what foods are available. So what advice do you have around managing the food for somebody with an eating disorder?
Okay, great question. First of all, I am a therapist. I'm not a dietitian, so I don't give out the food advice, but just to answer the question in general, I know that you're right. It is hard, as I said earlier. I think it really can be hard for a lot of people, and a lot of preparation and thought and stress can go into it. And for somebody who has an eating disorder, who has a history of restriction or difficulty maintaining their caloric needs, a lot of people who are Ashkenazi in who have been in treatment for eating disorders will get permission from a rabbi to eat kidney oat. So that's something that I did want to mention. If you think that getting in enough calories, or you have a history of not getting in enough calories, history of anorexia, history of being hospitalized for malnutrition at any point, to please speak to your rabbi or treatment team about possibly eating kidney oat this year. And if that's not something that you think applies to you or is appropriate for you, to work with a dietitian and make a plan for the food so that it's, you know, it is stressful, but we still have some time and we can. I think quinoa is accepted in most people's home. It's a wonderful alternative if you're not going to have rice. And if your rabbi does allow you to have rice, like I said, many people who are struggling, the rabbis authorize the eating of kidney oat, and it doesn't make your home not kosher for Passover. Everybody else doesn't have to eat it. It can be cooked in the same pot. So that's something that I wanted to mention because I've seen that allowed many times and can be really helpful for situations where it's necessary. But work with a dietitian or figure out with your family what foods you can eat and make sure to cook foods, prepare foods, make a plan so that you are feeding yourself. And to remember also that it is just 1 week and you can eat some chocolate, you can eat some potato chips, you can cook foods that you like with some variations and make a plan and try to focus on how you feel and try to see if maybe you could even enjoy some of it. And so if you can maybe kind of take the focus out of your head and into your overall well-being, if that could be just a small mindset shift that you can make, a lot of times that can help us with just seeing if we feel satisfied, seeing if we can listen to what we want. I hope that's helpful.
Right. And we all need to remember that comments, positive or negative, affect other people, even when we don't intend it to. So, you know, if somebody is too skinny or doesn't look good in their dress or whatever, and you have an opinion on it, you never know what that person is struggling with. So we need to be very mindful, very careful and respectful to not hurt anyone, whether intentionally or not.
I love that. Just don't comment.
Right. Right.
Let's not make judgments around somebody else's appearance. We don't know what's going on. So I think that's a great point.
Right. Let's talk about levels of care. But What modalities best work for people that struggle with eating disorders? So their loved ones, caregivers or parents, whomever, spouses, sisters, brothers, could know what is usually available to the one that's struggling so they can encourage them to go to the right places, DBT, CBT, et cetera.
I think that in most cases a combination of talk therapy and for some people medication therapy, and depending on the person and what their needs are, the level of care can be determined, and that can change all the time. But I think that it's important to know that you don't have to be an expert. If you want help, you don't have to know what they need. You can ask for help and let the experts do that assessing for you. A lot of times we think we have to know what we're asking for. If you call 1-800-RENFREW, you can ask for an assessment. There's no charge to get a professional to do the evaluation and help you get in at the level of care that you need or the level of care that your loved one needs. So a lot of times we think we have to know, and we can't all be experts. So that's where, I, as an eating disorder therapist, the RENFREW Center, there are many other treatment centers in, I, depending on where you are, what's available in your area, we can help connect you as well.
So I want to bring up that there are other challenges that people with eating disorders may have besides food. Can you share some?
Sure. I think that somebody with an eating disorder almost always has other comorbid issues going on. It's not never just an eating disorder in a vacuum. And somebody may be struggling with depression, anxiety, obsessive compulsive disorder, body dysmorphia, family issues, social issues, or any combination of those. And I think with Pesach especially, for some people, going home, spending the time with family can be a challenge in itself. For some people, not having enough family or enough of a support system can be the challenge. So, to just really be aware that it's never just one thing. We all have many things going on. We all have our issues, and nobody has just one issue. So, if we can all just have that compassion for ourselves and for each other. And I'm even just going to put out there, I think it's hard times in our world right now, and I think everybody's struggling with what's going on and their own issues at the same time. So just really be aware that family, friends, depression, the world, so many different things are all coming into play. And if we can just have that kindness and compassion and try to help each other. If you think somebody's struggling, if one of your loved ones is struggling, and you think that they might need help, just speak to them. I think it's always better to say something than to say nothing, but how you say it and when you say it can make a huge difference.
And it's important to remember that it may be very tempting to tell somebody, just eat already. Why don't you just eat? Or if they're binge eating, just cut it out. Eating disorders, like you said, are not just about food. So it's important that we realize that it's a very difficult road to recovery, and we all need to remember there's relapse. Let's talk about relapse, please.
Sure. I would say that recovery is not always linear, and that just because somebody is struggling doesn't mean they're having a relapse. A lapse doesn't have to be a relapse. And something I also like to say in treatment, you can ask any of my patients, I say this a lot, we can't ever go backwards in life. So if we kind of think of a wavelength, we might have ups and downs along the wave, but we're always going forward in life. We can't go backwards. And even if we are struggling and feel really low, We know more than we knew before. We're never going to be back in the same place. We have more knowledge. And sometimes just having that awareness of our own strength, a reminder that we are strong, that we can do hard things, and adding in the compassion for ourselves can be more helpful than anything. A lot of times the beating ourselves up, the negative self-talk keeps us down. And so sometimes, you know, reframing those thoughts of, oh no, I'm back where I am, or why can't I be better already, or I can't believe this is happening again. If we could reframe that into, I'm struggling right now, I'm having a hard time, maybe this is when I should reach out and just get a little more support so that I don't stay here as long, or so that I can get out of it sooner, or maybe I can reach out for a hand to help pull me out of this low that I'm in right now. And that's where really support and treatment and asking for help and remembering to have compassion for ourselves. Nobody can do this alone. People need people.
Absolutely. Sarah, I want to bring up one more thing, and that is avoiding using food as a reward for good behavior, the young children. Doctors, therapists, schools are saying use charts, toys, special time with mommy or daddy as an incentive instead of food.
Mm-hmm. There's definitely a big movement to neutralize food. We don't want food to be good or bad. Food is food, and we don't want to think that we are good or bad based on the food that we eat. So, oh, you were so good, let me give you a cookie, or you weren't good today, you don't get dessert. You know, we often internalize those thoughts and use them on ourselves, like, oh, I was bad today, I ate so many potatoes, or I had a sandwich, I had pizza, versus I was so good, I had salad. So we do want to kind of just neutralize that food should be food. Some foods have more nutrients. Some foods make us feel better. But at the same time, we want to also acknowledge that some foods taste really good, and we do sometimes get a euphoric feeling from that food. And also, we do sometimes use food for comfort. And, you know, can we take the judgment and the how we think about ourselves because of that off of that and allow that a little bit? But I think that having a sticker chart and winning prizes, and rather than food being a reward or a punishment, is really important. But at the same time, we don't want it to be so extreme that we don't allow there to be discussion that a cookie, sometimes we just want another cookie because it tastes really good. And sometimes when we're sitting around the holiday table, it tastes delicious and we might eat more than we would on a regular day. And can that be okay to be overly full and sit in that fullness, or to indulge in dessert and enjoy it with our families or our friends or on a holiday? So part of the neutralization is also, you know, not being too black and white in our thinking.
Well, thank you for coming on. Such important information. So many people struggling with eating disorders. And I hope to continue the conversation. Anyone that wants to reach out to Sarah Bateman, please give us a call at MASC 718-758-0400. And I will be personally sure to get her to return your call. Thank you, Sarah, for coming on again.
Thanks so much for having me, and appreciate all you do.
Thank you, and mazel tov on your simcha that you just had.
Oh, thank you so much.
Okay. Want to wish everyone a very good evening, a beautiful Shabbos, and always remember, hang in, hold on, and virtually still hug tight. Tonight's show is in honor of all the Chayalim. Bring the hostages home.
Bring them home now. Thank you.
Thank you, and have a good night. Please consider to go online to maskedparents.org so we can continue to do our programs, donate, please. Maskparents.org. Thank you.